Good afternoon. I'm here with my co-author, Dr. Caroline Sparks, who's sitting right there. So this presentation is going to cover the information about the health problem that was identified and then the later advocacy project that's still ongoing to deal with what we see as a public health problem. So this research and advocacy project was initially born out of my master's thesis for GW. I was a health communication, social media, public health person there. So I was always interested in new media, social media. There's a lot of talk about how to use social media to advance health objectives. And I think that that's great. But one thing struck my eye one night, and it was just kind of one of those random observations. I noticed that a friend of mine had joined a branded tobacco page on Facebook. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me in my head that there could be some negative health messages being disseminated through social media as well that I did not think the public health community was taking a very good close look at. This, just for a point of reference, this was a little over 2 years ago that I observed this. So I decided to do a content analysis on the presence of branded tobacco products on Facebook and look at some of the issues surrounding that. So some of this is going to be information that we as public health people already know, but it lays the groundwork for what I'm going to talk about. So there are restrictions on advertising tobacco to minors. You're not allowed to sell tobacco to people under 18. Now, when these laws were written, though, the social media, the internet, really did not exist in the way it does today. And I can tell you that today, in my observations, things like health warnings that are required in print media and on tobacco packages themselves are certainly not in place that I can observe in social media. So a little bit about Facebook. I decided when I was trying to do this project to really focus on Facebook because I wanted to make it a manageable project, but just as a point of reference, this was my manageable project data that I collected during the course of the project. So eventually I'd like to do something on some other forms of social media like Twitter, but right now this project is limited to Facebook. Facebook is always in the news, hundreds of millions of users. Every time I talked about this topic or redid my thesis for school, I had to keep updating the number of users for Facebook because when I started it was 300 million and at last count I heard it was 800 million. So for this presentation, I'm just leaving it at hundreds of millions. I read a year ago it became more popular than Google as a site to visit. And I also found some research that found 70% of users are outside of the U.S., and that's kind of part of the problem here, perhaps. So what were my methods? I started off to do a content analysis just to see the scope of the problem, to see, where we were with this. So I first started off by looking at the Facebook guidelines regarding the pages. I identified tobacco brands, tobacco-related pages and groups, did a content analysis and summarized the results. So I'll talk about each one of these steps. Now, Facebook pages is a portion of Facebook that companies and businesses can have a presence on the site in a way that's different from individuals. And Facebook actually promotes their pages option as a way to create brand awareness and to allow people who become a fan or like a page to become brand advocates. And I started this project so long ago that you used to become a fan of a product and now you like something. So that's why there's some interchangeability with the language there. So what this means is that if a minor or anybody becomes likes a product on Facebook, they have become a brand advocate, and that is the term Facebook uses. The second bullet I think is really important, and it says only the official representative of an organization, business, celebrity, or band may create a Facebook page. So that means that these pages and pages of content here, of tobacco-related pages on Facebook, are either not done through the proper Facebook terms of service if they're user-generated, or it is the tobacco companies creating these pages. So something to think about. The way I decided, I struggled a little bit with this, is how to identify the tobacco-branded pages in a manageable way. And what I finally settled on was to search the top six tobacco brand names by market share. And really what I did, I just used the search bar in my own personal Facebook page. I had considered making a researcher's Facebook page, but I wanted to follow the Facebook Terms of Service as well, which says I will, use my own Facebook page and not create an alternate identity. So I went ahead with my own Facebook page. And the way Facebook search results work, I have a feeling they're proprietary. I don't know exactly. The results are based on what they think I want to see in my search history and what other things I've friended or fanned or whatever. So I searched for each of these six terms, and I analyzed the results for relevance to tobacco, and I actually had to print them out because Facebook, there's a certain fluid element to it, so in order to capture a moment in time on Facebook, I actually just killed a bunch of trees and put them all in a binder. And after I did that, I analyzed them based on the avatar, the picture chosen for the page. I didn't have time to click on every single one. Analyze whether this was relevant to tobacco or not. So for example, a result like Marlboro, New Jersey would not be included and counted in this. So I collected the grouper page name, number of fans, and the members, the number of members or fans of that group, and the page or category type. Now, I looked further into the legal issues about marketing on Facebook and to minors, and in 2010, when I first did this research on Facebook's policies, it specifically said something about blocking minors from accessing your page, but I didn't find any way specifically to do that. And then in 2011, when I went to re-up this for this presentation, the second half of this bullet just wasn't there anymore, so it just dropped the example about minors. Now, when I've talked to some people about this issue, they've suggested that I report these pages. The report function doesn't really, they ask you for a reason for the report of the page, and nothing really fell within an acceptable report reason for me. So I haven't done that yet, but I think it's an excellent advocacy tactic to follow up on. So these are just a little summary of my results. I found 343 branded tobacco profile pages, a total of 172,000 fans at the time. Again, this was about a year and a half ago, and it was hard to tell if these were fans of multiple sites because there was no way to find out who exactly were the fans and if they were also a fan of something else, of another tobacco page. But this is a little summary of fan pages by brand. This is the number of pages. So Marlboro at the time had the most number of pages. And then it's interesting, Camel actually had the most total number of fans at that time. And this is just a comparison side-by-side of market share by brand and page totals by brand. So you can see they somewhat correlate, but not completely. So when I finished my research, I concluded with there is certainly a branded tobacco presence on Facebook. It's relatively small. I mean, that 172,000 out of the 800 million, certainly relatively small, but there's a potential for growth there, and that there should be more research at the legal issues. But there was also things to be done now from an advocacy point of view. So the following fall after this, a group of students at GW began a project to actually negotiate with Facebook and the public to do something about branded tobacco content on Facebook. The team branded itself Smokeless Social Media, and it worked in three areas: coalition building, media advocacy, and negotiations. The first thing that they wanted to do, the main thing they wanted to do was to get Facebook to follow their own terms of service. The fact that there are all these branded tobacco pages means that theoretically, under Facebook terms of service, if they are legitimate Facebook pages, they are created by the tobacco companies themselves, which is a whole host of problems for the FDA, or they're user-generated by someone not affiliated with the tobacco company. In that case, they are not following Facebook terms of service since they are not the authorized representative of that organization. So we wanted Facebook basically to adhere, to look into this and to abide by their own terms of service. So the coalition building team, again, they said this was a group of students. They got support from MWPHA, which is the local chapter for APHA, Digital Public Health, which is a project of a Maryland-based nonprofit called Campaign Digital, which I'm affiliated with, and the Framework Convention Alliance on Tobacco. The next step for another team was negotiations. there was a lot of lead up to this about how to frame this. Actually, Mark Zuckerberg is in the news all the time. He's, you know, Facebook is valued at however many billions of dollars. So we wanted to make the message right, and but there was a little bit of a sense of almost it was Facebook was too big to fail or too big to be challenged. But that's what the negotiation team worked on. The IOM report on the future of tobacco control recommended regulation on the internet, and but right now the FDA, and I was talking to the FDA while I'm here, while I was here about the future for regulation of tobacco product advertising on the internet, because that's kind of a seed in their mind, it seems like, but hasn't really come to fruition. A lot of that is self-policed right now. And then we had a media advocacy team. They created their own Facebook page, Go Where Everybody Is. And at the time of the conclusion of their part of the project, the Facebook page had 243 friends. And that's our page, nothing compared to the 172,000 of the tobacco brands. There were some other things that the media advocacy team did. They created a blog, a Twitter account. They sent out press releases. They handed out information. They participated in the Great American Smokeout. They also went and demonstrated at the Social Network movie. The Social Network movie, if you'll remember, about Mark Zuckerberg and the founding of Facebook, came out during the fall of 2010 when the students were doing their project. So they thought it was an opportunity to let people know a little bit more about Facebook and to have people sign a petition about branded tobacco pages. These are some of the people that the advocacy team identified as wanting to contact or interact with, but they did not get very far. So there's still a lot of room for this advocacy project to really take off, but these were some of the avenues that they tried to go down. So we learned some things. Challenging a national online company requires a combination of social media and traditional organizing. There is a bit of an anonymity on an online company because so much of it happens online. We did find out that they do have a DC office, but the advocacy team found it daunting to contact Facebook board or business staff. And at this time, and I've actually been talking to FDA while I was here after I finalized these slides, but there still are not any specific concrete plans about tobacco online advertising. So there's more advocacy that needs to be done, both with Facebook and working with the FDA to help them identify some of the problems that are out there, because I think, you know, meetings like this are a great opportunity to connect. So that's it. More coalition, more of everything, and hopefully this right here is a good start. So I think I have a couple minutes for questions, maybe.
Sure.
If anyone has anything, sure. I know. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the question was about, you know, the number of fans being relatively small to the number of Facebook users, and that we did not have a chance to look at how much was going on the sites in terms of, you know, the back and forth or how much they're posting. So it's an unknown. I mean, you know, at the seed of kernel, the kernel of it is that everything present in my research, you know, these pages one way or another shouldn't be there. It may not be the hugest, you know, social health problem, but they're there. The potential is there. The precedent is being set. So I think it's good to identify them. And I'd be interested to see if someone had a chance to do redo this same research and see what the status is. It just wasn't within the capabilities of the resources that I had at the time to really look at each page and see what was going on with them. But I can't say that it was real. I did become fans of some of those pages, and it wasn't like I was getting bombarded every day or anything.
I think
and that there's just no way as a regular user to find out. But that is something that if there were some advocacy or we pushed for that or Facebook could look at the fans of these, you know, just so their own self-policing to see who's on them, because certainly I just went in as an average user to look at them. So yeah, I'd love to know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.